Church this morning, and I thought to just start off church to have a icebreaker is look at the person next to you or turn around to someone and why don't you encourage them? Just encourage them. And what are you going to say by encouraging them? Come on, encourage someone. Amen. It's great to encourage each other. And that's what the Word of God says. Encourage one another every day. You know that we're there to encourage. We're there to spur one another on. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for this morning. Thank you that we're alive. Thank you that we can breathe. Thank you that we can be at church this morning. Thank you, God, for everyone who's here and those that are here on Zoom. Just pray, God, for a special prayer this morning that your word and your Holy Spirit will open up our hearts. God, that we can think about the scriptures that we're reading and not just gloss through them, but they can stick on our hearts and transform us so that our lives can change. Help us to understand this whole concept of pursuing your love. Of receiving love, of giving love, that we're maturing and growing into people of love. Because that's what your word says, that the greatest of these is love. And so it's something that we need to be chasing after and being transformed in. Lead and guide today, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So last Sunday, we did part one, and I said, this Sunday we're going to do part two of pursuing love and chasing after this thing called love. Last week we looked at just an amazing scripture in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 21, and we learned so much there about this whole concept of love, that love is from God, amen, that God is love, and that we love because he first loved us. And so those are sort of the three things that stand out there, that we didn't create this thing called love. And yet, in the world around us, it looks as if we've created it. And we've sort of created what love should look like. But it's so important to understand that the source of love is God. Like, God created this and God initiated love. It didn't come from us. God is far greater than us, and he created this love, and he started loving first. And if we can get that right, it just helps so much in our theology and just understanding the love that God speaks about, that when we're reading scripture, it's this love called agape love. So it's not a love that we created in a romancing love. This is agape love. This is a sacrificial love. This is a love that I want to give of myself. And it's not some type of Hollywood love that we see around us. You know, and so this is the love that we're speaking about, you know. And we looked at it that the nature of God is love. 2 Peter 1 speaks about that we can participate in the divine nature of God. By being children of God, you are invited and you are participating in this divine, this holy, this precious, this love that only comes from God, that you are participating in his nature. And that's huge. That is huge. That you're not just at church or following this thing called Jesus or God or whatever, but you're participating in it, and therefore God is working inside of each one of us. We closed off because it's so important, is we all want to give love, not so? Is the question not asked, how much are you loving? Are you loving? Are you a loving person? Are you raising children that are loving? And it's all about, are they like this? But we closed off last week with, I think a very important question, are you allowing God to love you? Because there can be so many barriers that stop you from allowing God, and then the love that you read about in God's word is a warped love because you've not received it. You can't give what you've not received. And that's a principle in life. If you do give, it's going to be shallow. It's not going to be a real, genuine, authentic way to give. And are you allowing that? And we spoke about, we do not learn from our experiences, but from reflecting on our experiences. And everything in life, your Monday is going to be full of experiences. Experiencing people around you. And when you stand back and you reflect on that experience, you learn, you mature, you grow. It's exactly the same with reflecting on God's word. And that's what we're going to speak about this morning. And I just want to go back to 1 John 4, and I'm just going to read this here. It says in verse 16, God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. So let me just read that again slowly, because it needs to sink in. God is love. He created love. He's the source of love. Those who abide in love. So you're abiding in love, automatically abide in God, and God abides in them. And the author here, John, is really trying to help the church of how to love each other. And this is the concept that he's speaking about, is abiding in love. And that word is making your home in love, but in an agape love. You're making your home in God. And to understand this, it's awesome to be able to look at scripture, because one of my favorite scriptures is John 15. And we'll see in John 15, if we can look at the next slide here, we'll see in John 15, this author has written 1 John 4, and the whole book of 1 John is all about love. But John's also written John 15. And who would like to come up here and read this for me? Who would like to just come up and read it? Interact here. Interact and read it slowly. Come up with your tea, with your coffee. If you're relaxed, read the scripture.
From the beginning.
From the beginning, please. Not halfway through.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another.
Thank you.
Just stay here, Charles. And this is not planned. So I want you to look at the scripture here. Okay, just look at that scripture. This word abide comes up how many times? I'm sure you've counted them there. Okay? It comes up about 11 times. Okay? This word love comes up, love or loved, about 9 times. And this other word that comes up a lot is fruit. And this word fruit comes up about 8 times. Okay, so what do you notice about the scripture there? Where do all the words abide? Are they in the first half or second half of the scripture? Sorry? Talk louder? First half. You can sit down if you want. Yeah, no, okay. You can observe from there. So then the first half of the scripture. And why do you think they're in the first half of the scripture? To create the connection, that's what brings the love. That's where you start. Are you observing? Are you noticing? Are you allowing it to sort of sink in? So this word abide also is remain, if you remain in me. And I love it that if you look into it, it's if you make your home in me, and you allow God to make his home in you. And what's it like, wives, to make a home? And I'm asking wives, because men are like, oh, just give me a bed, give me a stove, I'm fine. Give me a really nice garage that I can park my car in. The garage needs to be better than the home. You know what I mean? And it's like, whoa, this and that. You know, I don't care what the home looks like. But Jesus is making, like, man, our homes are important. And he says, abide in me. Make your home in me. And it's so beautiful because he starts off and he's like, this is the way that I want you to live. Be part of Jesus and remain in Jesus. That's what I want you to do. And that's what we're going to look at this morning, is how do we abide so that this love naturally flows out of us remaining in Jesus so that we can love one another. And that you and I can be these trees that are fruitful. Don't you want to be a fruitful tree? That's like, whoa, people are picking things off your tree because it's just bearing incredible fruit. What are the fruit of the Spirit? Love. It starts off with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those things. Imagine if that's the tree, and this is the vision that we have from following Jesus Christ. Let's look at the next scripture in Matthew chapter 7. Now, last year, we preached a whole year on the Sermon on the Mount. And here is speaking about fruit and speaking about trees. You will know by their fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorns or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will know them by their fruits. You will know them by their fruits. You and I recognize a tree by its fruit, not so? And it's a lot easier to recognize a tree when you are driving through farming areas when they actually are bearing fruit. You say, well, that's an orange tree. That's an apricot tree. That's an avo tree. The fruit is the result of the nature of the tree. So think about that. The fruit is a result of the nature of the tree. Your love is a result of being invited to participate in the nature of God. You never created it. It's not because of you. It's not because of how pure you are or how much you love. You have been invited to participate in the nature of God. And so the question that you may be asking this morning is, how do we abide in this love? It's great to speak about abiding. It's great to speak about remaining. But I really do want to mature. I really do want to grow. I really do want to abide in this love. So we're going to look at two things here to just start off. What is the definition of discipline? The definition of discipline. It's any activity I can do by direct effort that will help me do what I cannot do by direct effort. Okay, what does that mean? Okay, what does that actually mean in layman's terms? Okay, so you're choosing an activity that I can do by direct effort that will help me to do, but will help me do what I cannot do by direct effort. So what's an example of that in your life? Yes. That's a great example. Okay? So there's a structure there. There's a plan there. This is what I do. It's good for my health, but it's also good for my walk with God. So the next slide is, what is the definition of a spiritual discipline? It's any activity that can help me live as Jesus taught and as Jesus modeled in his life. So is your aim and my aim not to become more like Christ? Is that not why we're here? Is that not what we're yearning for? Is that not like, oh Jesus, I want to become just like a bit more like you? And so what can we apply in our lives? Spiritual disciplines that we can apply in our lives that are helping us to live more like Jesus and model the life that Jesus lived. And you're holding onto that and growing in that. How do you abide in God's love? Well, we all know, yes, God loves me. He loves his children. But how do you abide in God's love? Do what he says, obey him. Absolutely. Be with him. Absolutely. If we're not maturing and growing in love, then how are we going to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ more and more? Have you heard of training and have you heard of trying? So what's it like to train? And what is it like to try in life? That I'm going to train in life, or I'm going to just try in life? Have you not heard people say, I am so tired of trying. I've tried so hard in my life and I just want to give up. I've tried so hard in my marriage and it's just me giving, 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 and there's no change from the other side. I want to give up. I've tried so hard at this work and I just want to give up. I've tried so hard with my weight and tried this and tried that and eaten brown bread and brown rice and all these things, but it's just like I've tried so hard and I've had enough. The difference between training and trying lies in the focus, lies in the process, lies in the long-term aspect that you're trying to live your life in. This morning we're looking at a lot of definitions, and hopefully these will help you to hold on to John 15. Training, definition. Okay? Training harder involves being deliberate, structured, consistent effort to build skills, to build strength or expertise over time through practice, repetition, and progression. It's about long-term preparation and improvement, often with a specific goal in mind. And that's what sort of training is. And even the Apostle Paul said in Corinthians, he said, anyone who competes in the games, in these games, goes into strict training. And he was referring to the games in Corinth in AD 51. You can go online and you can look it up. There were games there. And they went into strict training. And our strict training in Jesus is of value. To abide is not to just try, but to abide is to train. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. And now, if you look at this word, trying hard, because we've used it so many times. Man, I've tried so hard. I've tried so hard to love. Trying hard refers to putting in maximum effort in the moment, often with a specific task or challenge, without necessarily having a structured preparation process. It's about giving your all in a single instance or short-term effort. And it's not a bad thing. Is that you are trying hard. You are putting everything into it right now. But let's compare these two. Because there's a message here that I believe we can learn spiritually. If you look at the key characteristics of training and the key characteristics of trying. Because we've heard it so many times, is like, I'm trying to be a good Christian. Have you not heard that? I'm trying so badly. Can't you see that I'm trying? Or you can't see that I'm trying. Don't judge me. And then the person that's trying to help the person feel guilty because they're throwing it back on the person and you're in this vortex. And you look at training is systematic and it follows a plan, a method. It follows something that improves a specific skill, improves a performance. Training is long-term and you are gradually improving over the long-term. You are adding to this, and you're adding to that, and that's so scriptural because you're adding to your faith this, and you're adding to this, and you're adding to that. There is training taking place. It's discipline driven. That as you're training, yes, I'm training for this, you've got an alarm clock. You're waking up at 4:30. You've got a training program that you've got. You are driven 5 days a week with it. And it's proactive. It sort of involves preparing before the event. It's proactive. You've got your plan. And you look at the opposite here in trying. Trying is very reactive. Trying is very focusing on the immediate situation that you're going through. Trying is very short-term focused. And it's not emphasizing the journey. This is what I'm maturing into. Trying is very intensity driven. I'm giving 100% to it now, and if things don't work up, that's it. I'm walking away from this. Trying is not always strategic. It's a lack of clear planning. And so you may want some illustrations here that can help us understand what we've just unpacked here. Someone who is trying, who is training hard to learn a new language. Okay, so you need to learn a new language. And you are training yourself to learn a new language. Your family's training, not so, Wolves? Every Saturday morning, without fail, between 9 and 1 o'clock. Is that right? Something like that. They are in class. Your boys are in class. And they're trying to learn your home language. Not so. And a person is committed to that. They're attending it once or twice a week. They're practicing it at home. They're engaged in it. They are building around it. They are learning to fellowship people with folk that speak that language. And they are there to be trained in it. By contrast, someone who's just trying is like, oh, well, we need to go to South America in a month's time. They look at a few words, Spanish words. Okay, I just need to learn how to greet. I need to learn how to say thank you. I need to learn what food is. I need to learn what home is. I need to learn what transport is. And they have a few words that they can chat with. And after the trip, nothing stuck. It goes. Training is intense. Trying is to just get through now. If you look at it through the lens of building relationships, a person works on becoming a better listener. That's someone who's training. Learning about the other person's needs, who's trying to meet those needs, who's practicing those needs, who's listening in conversation, who's like, is this what you said? I don't understand this. I want to build this relationship. Help me to understand. In contrast, a person who's trying, there's a heated argument. They try to listen, they try to resolve, but after they've listened, they go back to the habits of old, and they've not learnt the new skills. And that's what training and that's what trying is all about. And why is this important? And that's a good question that you need to be asking. Why is this important? Because training hard builds a foundation of sustainable success. It's like planting a seed and nurturing it over and looking after it and allowing it to grow. Training requires patience and leads to lasting results. And that's so important in following Jesus Christ. It's so, so important because you are growing. You're trying to lean in. You're trying to learn what it is to abide. Whereas trying can help right now in the time that you're living in now. But it's like sprinting without warming up. You might make it through, but you risk burnout and you risk injury. And suddenly you're thinking about, whoa, those words, injury, burnout. If you're not in this for the long term, you're going to risk those things. And if you're not holding on to the scriptures that we read last week and this week and meditating and being obedient and fleshing them out and thinking about it, and it's like, oh man, I want to understand what the Apostle John was saying here about truly abiding in me. And these are practices that Jesus lived in his own life. And last year, we studied it out in the Sermon on the Mount. It was like deep. It was amazing. And here are some practices that Jesus lived and taught so that he could train himself to be close to his Father. He was continuously training himself to be close to his Father and to hear his Father and to obey his Father and submit to his Father. And abiding means all these scriptures on abiding is like abiding is remain, hold on to. And that's the part that we have to do well, church. We have to, and we are responsible for that. Your responsibility in following Jesus is to abide, is to hold on, is to train yourself in that. And the spiritual practices that we see in God's word, and here are just a few. Just remember, a spiritual practice is something that Jesus did, and it's something that is drawing you closer to God so that you can grow in your love for God, receive love from God, and grow in your love for one another. This whole practice of prayer, I think, can become so cheap. Are you praying? Aren't you praying? Prayer is so precious. It's communicating with the Creator. It's talking. It's like, it's so precious. It's everything to our walk with God. It is such an honor to train ourselves to communicate with God regularly, consistently, to grow in that. It's everything in our walk with God. This whole concept of, are you reading God's word or aren't you, is also so cheap. What standard do you want to live by in your life? And man, we have it here. This is precious. That when you open up this spiritual practice of reading God's word and allowing it to get into you and transform you and change you, and for you to even say, I want to be obedient to this, I want to hold on to this, it's a practice that you're pouring yourself into continuously and growing in it. This is the training and not the trying. Because you've heard so many folks say, man, I'm trying to read God's word. And my goal is to read the whole of God's word this year. And I'm starting from the beginning and I'm going to get through. And you know what? Inside of me, my eyes flip back. That's great. But is the word of God transforming you? Or you're just reading the word of God, but it's not changing you? Solitude and silence is a practice I believe that we totally overlook. And it's so convenient to overlook because we love being busy. We pride ourselves in being busy. I'm running from here, I'm running to there, I've got a business appointment here, I'm driving there, I'm flying to Europe, I'm going here, I'm going there. And there's no time to have solitude and silence. It's not crafted out every day. It's not just a retreat once a year. It's crafted out into our lives. It's helping ourselves to train in this. Put that alarm clock on and spend that time before anyone wakes up in your house and you are in solitude, you're in silence, you are praying, you're receiving, you're holding on to the word of God. And these are such beautiful spiritual practices that Jesus has given us that help us to abide, help us to hold on to. Money's a big, big thing. Because the world seems to chase after it continuously. And Jesus speaks about it so, so much. And it's a practice of as you're abiding more and more in Christ, so God is using that for the kingdom, for the benefits. Serving. Celebrating. Beautiful practices. We're going to go on to scripture, but how do we pursue this love? And you may be asking this question more and more. Okay, I'm understanding a bit more of what training is, what trying is. I've been trying a lot in my life. I really want to train myself. I want to hold on to things. I want to talk about it with one another. Have spiritual folk in my life that are helping me being trained into the likeness of Christ. And I really want to have the character of God more and more as I'm pursuing this love, this sacrificial love. 1 Corinthians 13 is a scripture that's most probably one of the scriptures that is the most well known in the world. It's used at a lot of weddings. That's used in books, that's pulled out of God's word and thrown into books. That every one of these points is, you know, if you want to improve your life, books have been written on all of these points. And when you look at the nature of love, this is the nature of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. Love is not proud. Love does not dishonor others. Love is not self-seeking. Love is not easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil. Love rejoices with the truth. The truth. Love always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. And love always perseveres. And we've heard about it. Go and put your name in front of there and read it. It's not bad. It's not a bad thing to do. But maybe first put Jesus' name in front. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus does not envy. Jesus does not boast. Jesus is not proud. Jesus honors others. Jesus is not self-seeking. Jesus is not easily angered. Jesus keeps no record of wrong. Jesus does not delight in evil. Jesus rejoices with the truth. Jesus always protects. Jesus always trusts. Jesus always hopes. Jesus always perseveres. If God is love, God created love. If the nature of God is love, that is the nature, the prime nature of God. That's who God is. As children of God, if you are participating in the nature of God, you're entering into the nature of God. Jesus is abiding in you. I'm abiding in Jesus, and I'm abiding in love. That's what the scriptures say. This is like plunging into a swimming pool. Okay? Plunging into a swimming pool. And when you plunge into a swimming pool, every area of you is immersed and is wet. And this fire hose of water is all over you. And you often heard of like, man, I'm living life like, man, as if a fire hose is coming into me. Turn that around and live life with the fire hose of this. That you're immersing yourself into this because you're abiding in this. This is who you are. This is what you're maturing yourself in. This is what you're training yourself in. Oh man, I've tried so hard to be patient. I'm such an impatient husband. I'm such an impatient person. How do you train yourself to be patient? With God's word, with prayer, with one another? How do you put yourself 100% into that? How do you look at situations where, man, this will normally cause me to be impatient? When that washing machine is going and there's 1 minute and it's like that 1 minute feels like 3 minutes and I can't wait for it to ting and I'm pulling at that door, is there patience? How do I train myself to be kind? You can train yourself today at church to be kind with who you fellowship with. The way you look at someone in the eyes, the way you greet someone, the way you get involved in their lives. How can you train yourself for not being proud in the next meeting on Monday at work? There is a way. Absolutely. 100%. How do you train yourself in not envying, not boasting? How do you train yourself in that I'm going to honor every person I come across? Training yourself in those things. It's not easily angered. Oh my, this world is just so easily angered. And anger can just destroy love like that. Outbursts can just destroy love. But love always trusts, always perseveres. This is the nature that God is calling us to. My encouragement is, this is what the church that I believe Jesus is saying the church should be built on. What's the vision for the church? Well, here's the vision for the church. This is a vision for your life personally. This is a vision for God's church. This is the fruit that he's speaking about in John 15. This is what it's about. It's allowing this to ooze out. What's the vision? Man, can we plant more groups? Can we do this? Can we do that? Live this, and God will open up doors. Live this, and God will do great things. Hold on to this. Train yourself in this. Don't try, but train. Be structured, consistent, putting your strength, your energy, practicing, improving. And what is so interesting as we're landing the plane, the result of receiving God's love and loving God in return is deep love for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And I think very often we read the scriptures upside down. We read the scriptures from the end, and we want to practice the end of the scripture, but we don't want to hold on to what the scripture is saying at the beginning. And if you notice, and I'm sure you have noticed already, because all we've done is two scriptures in the last 2 weeks, and if you've been reading these scriptures at church like now, what do you notice? What is the last verse that both of these scriptures end on? Pardon? Love one another. And yet we run to love one another, but you don't understand what it is to abide. And in 1 John 4, it speaks about, you know, anyone who loves God must also love his brothers and sisters. That's the last verse of what we studied out last week. But we run to that and we preach it. You need a love, you need a love. But there's no abiding. There's no transformation. There's no changing. There's no growing. At the end of the scripture on the vine, John 15, 17, I'm giving you these commands that you may love one another. And this is beautiful, church. This is what it's about. Holding on to this. And then you may understand in Psalm 23, verse 6, surely goodness and love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our whole series is pursuing love. How is love pursuing you? And that's something else to go and think about. Because I think that's a deep maturity in love. Then when you and I are abiding in this thing called love, and we're living it out in every aspect and training ourselves, love pursues us. And we're becoming people and growing to be people of love. And that's the pursuit that love has over us. And that's something that I'm personally thinking a lot about, praying a lot about. I just want to be able to say that with confidence. Surely, your goodness and love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's so beautiful. But to understand that is to grapple on these other verses. And as we grappling on it, this is not just an internal thing. It needs to be that you're living it. That we're living this love out to each other in God's church. That we're really praying for that and trying to live that out. Being a person of love, growing in that, training ourselves in that. And as we transition here to the Lord's Supper, and as we close our eyes, I want us to just sort of think about those words that Paul was speaking about love. And as I read through them again slowly, and you're thinking about the cross, and you're thinking about what Jesus did on the cross for each one of us, it's so beautiful. And the way that God has continuously just shown us his love. But dear Lord, love is patient. God is kind. God never envies. God does not boast. God is not proud. God does not dishonor others. God is not self-seeking. God is not easily angered. God keeps no record of wrongs, and we just thank you so much for that as we come before you with our own sins. God loves, God won't delight in evil. God rejoices with the truth. God always protects us. God always trusts. God always hopes. And God always perseveres. And Father, thank you, God, for persevering in our lives, and that you've been there for us when we just didn't know how to stand for you. And you persevered, and you hoped, and you poured your love into us. And God, as we come before the cross, and thank you so much for Jesus rising again, that we've got hope in all of this. God, it's such an honor to participate in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.